As we wake up in the morning, that's when the voices start. It don't take long before they're gone, from your head right to your heart. We got fears about the future, regrets about the past, and stuff we're not sure where it's from, but it's coming on fast. We're all thinking stuff together, but we're feeling all alone. And we're making up this movie, our own motion picture show. When we walk out in the world each day, it's a battle for your mind. Some folks want your money, some folks want your time, and they all want your attention, and they'll get it how they can. God, well, the garden of your mind, there lies your promised land. 'Cause we're all made up of all that stuff we're taking in each day. And if we don't watch ourselves, we'll take our lives away. It's what we're thinking about. 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 It's painting the scenes of our lives.
Well, good morning. Yes, painting the scenes of our lives. This is Ken Ludwig. Welcome to the show, and this is what we're thinking about. This is your resource for learning to swim in the infinite ocean of pure potentiality, an island of affirmative intentionality in a sea of negativity. This is the place to free yourself from sentiments of blaming, of resentment, from all those thoughts of lack and limitation. This is where you learn to lift yourself up from the depths of the conspiracy theorists, the naysayers, all of those who are anti-this and anti-that and anti-everything. Now, I know you know who I mean. We're talking about the people who would totally disempower us all with their messages of how we're being taken advantage of, how we're being used, how the government, the cults, the Zionists, the globalists, and every other special interest group imaginable, you just name them, how they are all in charge. And you? Well, you, my friend, are in control of nothing. You, of course, are powerless. Right here, this show. Here is where we draw the line. This show is where we raise ourselves up and declare that we will no longer be the victims of the voices of negativity, not even the ones in our own heads. The motto of this network, the Republic Broadcasting Network, is because you can handle the truth. On this show, we're going to talk about real truth, about universal truth, about the truth of spiritual principles. Gandhi had a theory. It's been referred to as truth power. The basic idea is that we are all capable of recognizing the great truths of life. Now, I'm here to prove that theory, because I believe that no matter what your religious beliefs, no matter what philosophy of life or spiritual path you follow, you can and you will recognize the great metaphysical truths of the universe. And that is what we will focus on in the show. You are in control. You are the co-creator of your reality. You can decide and choose to no longer be the victim, and you can do it by virtue of what you're thinking about. That's the name of our show, and that, my friends, is the truth of your life. Well, as I've already said, good morning and welcome to the show. It's a beautiful Saturday morning here in Colorado. There is certainly a bit of fall in the air. I love this time of year. It's my favorite time of year, actually. I love the nice cool nights and the pleasant days. In Colorado, of course, we have the beautiful aspen trees turn gold in the high country, and it's amidst all of the evergreens is these beautiful patches of gold up there. My beloved Lisa and I were up there the other day, drove up into the mountains to have breakfast, and it was truly breathtaking in some spots where you just, this beautiful display of nature's beauty. It's not like where I grew up in the East, where you have a million different varieties of plant life and different colors of leaves that come out in the fall. This is very much just kind of the gold amidst the green, and it's really very breathtaking up there in the high country. So anyway, I've got an interesting show planned for us this morning. We're not going to have a guest today, but we're going to talk a little about something that has come to my attention recently that I find very near and dear to my heart. We're also going to talk a little bit about the philosophy that I follow, the science of mind and spirit, and we'll discuss that a little bit. I'm hoping you'll join me in the conversation. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in three. This is what we're thinking about.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back to the show. That, of course, was Tears for Fears and Everybody Wants to Rule the World. And at the top of the show, as always, we have my good friend Barry Ebert with his great song, It's What We're Thinking About. And I wanted to be sure to continue to let everyone know that that song will be out on a CD in November. And when that comes out, I'll be sure to let everyone know how to get a hold of that. While we're on that subject of purchasing CDs, I'm not sure how many of you out there are aware of the fact that the Public Broadcasting Network has an online store. And if you go to our website at republicbroadcasting.org, you will find our online store where you will find all manner of posters and books and DVDs for your edification. There are air purifiers on there. There are Berkey water filtration systems. Those are pretty much acknowledged to be the best there are available anywhere on the planet. They are on sale at the moment. There is a free gift involved with purchasing any one of them. So I think you might be interested in having a look at those. They actually, the Berkey water filtration systems actually will turn what otherwise would be totally non-potable, totally dangerous water, turn it into drinking water. That is for all of you guys who spend any time in the woods out there, or you hunters, or anybody who lives in some part of the country where maybe the water isn't so hot, maybe that'll come in handy. Anyway, go visit our online store at republicbroadcasting.org and have a look at what we sell there, and you might be very interested to find. I was just kind of looking at it this morning for a minute. There's a lot of really cool posters there for you, you people who are interested in the message of RBN. You might be interested in some of those. So, that said, I want to read you something this morning. Every month I get a magazine called Science of Mind, and it's kind of a little guide for spiritual living, and there are daily guides in there every single day. And there was one here a couple of weeks ago that really just kind of touched me a little bit, and I wanted to read it to you. The format is that there's usually a quote from someone that the vast majority of us might know. Then there's a quote from the actual book, The Science of Mind, which is written by Ernest Holmes. And then an individual person who is associated with the United Church of Religious Science, or as we know it now as the United Centers for Spiritual Living, they write these daily guides, and they write them for the entire month. One person does that. And the month of September was written by a lady named Linda Watson, who is a practitioner in the United Centers for Spiritual Living, which I am as well. So I wanted to read this to you. I think I'll save that for later. Let's read this to you. The first quote at the top is from Jean Houston, which I'm sure everyone is familiar with out there. And it's from her work, A Passion for the Possible. Seeing our life as a great story can fill us with a passion for the possible, giving us access codes to a new range of possibilities, and grant us a mythic life. And from the Science of Mind textbook, the spark which burns at the center of our own soul is caught from the living and eternal flame of the spirit. And then Linda Watson writes for a couple of Sundays ago, nature is at its finest during these September days. Leaves are changing color, seemingly aglow with passionate possibilities. Much is asked of those who feel called into an expanded expression of existence. We are compelled to liberate ourselves from our old story, replete with its litany of limiting beliefs. We refrain from listening to the remnants of critical self-abnegation. Joseph Chilton Pierce reminds us that passionate intent with unconflicted behavior brings forth our desires. What are you passionate about? For what does the flame in your soul burn? How are you inspired to express your creativity and passion? Passion can bring us to the zenith of our existence, ultimately leading us to our purpose. The invitation is to reach into your soul and fuel the fires of your passions as you amplify your power to bestow great blessings and benefit to humanity. Whatever reasons you've had for not being fully engaged in living a passionate existence, remember this, you are the one you've been waiting for. And then there's always an affirmation at the bottom of the page, and the affirmation of this day is, I unleash the passionate intent in my soul so that my life may be a blessing as I fulfill my destiny as a beneficial presence. What a great thought that is, to fulfill your destiny as a beneficial presence. But I wanted to go back up to the middle of this where she quotes Joseph Chilton Pierce, passionate intent with unconflicted behaviors brings forth our desires. That's something we've talked about before on this show, and that is very much about my two pet words, discipline and practice. That when you have decided that you have an intent, that you have something you want to bring into your life, then it is about the discipline to do the activities necessary to attempt to bring it forward, and then to practice that over and over and over again. Practice does never ever make perfect, but practice makes permanent. And as we'll talk about many times on this show, and actually if you were ever inclined to have me come and speak to your group, you'll hear about it if I speak to your group, because it is my It is my newest excitement. It is the thing that brings into my life that validation that mankind has always looked for. We have our philosophies, we have our beliefs, but we always look for science to validate what we think. And it is the science of the creation of new neural nets in our brain and how the practice of new thought processes can bring that about and make that happen. That excites me. It also is something that is easy to teach to people. But as always, it's easy to teach. It may not be so easy to do because it does require the unending practice. And practice is really, practice is not something you do. That's where the practice makes perfect line kind of leaves me a little cold, because when you use the practice makes perfect paradigm, you're really talking about at some point the practice stops. And anyone who is really good at anything in this life will tell you that the practice never stops. That if you are going to be good at anything, if you are going to develop permanent habits, if you are going to develop permanent skills, if you are going to develop any kind of permanent ability whatsoever in this life, you must practice, and you must practice forever. It doesn't ever stop. As the great athletes of the world, the great musicians of the world, they practice all the time. The reason they practice is because they need to ingrain what they're doing, not only at a cellular level in their physical bodies, but in their minds. And actually, that's kind of reversed, because it starts in the mind. When they ingrain their practices in their mind, they start this entire cascade of chemical processes going on in their body that then puts that memory at a cellular level into their body. That's where we get people who do physical work, people who do athletics, people who are things like weightlifters, those kinds of people. They ingrain in their body at a cellular level this memory of what they are doing, and that is how they get so awesome at doing the same thing over and over and over again. It's absolutely no different in every aspect of our lives. And it's interesting that we don't ever have a problem applying the practice mode to whatever, pick a subject. Okay, my one of my passions is golf. Now, I don't ever have a problem practicing golf. If I want to be better at golf, I know I have to practice. So going to the driving range or going to the chipping green or the putting green is not necessarily a question for me. I just go and I do it because I know that's the only way I'm going to get better. In fact, sometimes I even employ a coach to train me, to a teaching professional, a PGA professional, to help me try and improve my game. And there's never any question about that. Why then do we find it so hard to apply those same thought processes into improving our lives? That's always interesting to me, and I'm as challenged by that whole idea as anyone else would be. We continue to just go on with life the way it is and keep doing, you know, keep ingraining in ourselves the definition of insanity. We keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. Well, we're all pretty clear that that doesn't work. It's never going to work. But we don't ever bother to spend a lot of time taking up new practices. And those new practices are really, you already know them. They're already in your body. They are in the one mind that I have talked about, the one mind that if you grasp anything of what I say, if you grasp even the slightest iota of what I'm talking about, you will get the one mind concept, that there is only the mind of God. That's all there is. So all the answers, everything you need to know is there. But as individuals, we have our own little blockages, our own little speed bumps, our own little screens that we put up, and we need to sometimes pull back the veil, so to speak, as it would say in the Bible, and have a different look at what we're talking about and what we're actually trying to accomplish in our lives. And sometimes we need to get that information from outside of ourselves just to open the door inside of ourselves. And that would happen by what you read and the things you listen to, the tapes that you play for, I don't want to say self-help because I don't particularly like that, but how about if we refer to it more in a sense of self-actualization? If you are trying always to go deeper and deeper within yourself and learn more, you can access that information by reading the right stuff, by listening to the right things, by being mentored by the right people and by the people you choose to hang around with. How many of us out have friends, longtime friends in our lives, that really It's hard to say serve no purpose because everyone you meet in your life serves a purpose. But basically where the friendship doesn't really amount to anything. It's a one-sided friendship. It just strictly comes from you. It's really a question of making a decision to make it different and move away from that and have people who are influential in a positive sense in life. Let's take a break here.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Soon as we wake up in the morning, that's when the voices start. It don't take long before they're gone from your head right to your heart. We got fears about the future, regrets about the past, and stuff we're not sure where it's from, but it's coming on fast. We're all thinking stuff together, but we're feeling all alone, and we're making up this movie, our own motion picture show. When we walk out in the world each day, it's a battle for your mind. Some folks want your money, some folks want your time, and they all want your attention, and they'll get it how they can. God, well, the garden of your mind, there lies your promised land. 'Cause we're all made up of all that stuff we're taking in each day. And if we don't watch ourselves, we'll take our lives away. It's what we're thinking about. 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 It's painting the scenes of our lives.
Welcome back to the show. That, of course, is my good friend Barry Ebert, and it's what we're thinking about. We're getting ready to, or getting near a time where we need to play that song all the way through. We haven't done that in a while, and I love for you guys to hear that song because it truly is a kind of throwback to an old Dylan-esque kind of protest song, and I love that. So, the name of this show is What We're Thinking About, and what I'm always concerned with is what you're thinking about, and I'd like to know what's going on in your head. The number here is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. I am always very interested in talking to my audience and seeing what's going on in your head. So I have a quote here from a lady by the name of Gail Devers, and it says, "Keep your dreams alive. Understand to achieve anything requires faith and belief in yourself, vision, hard work, determination, and dedication. Remember, all things are possible for those who believe." There's a great quote from Meister Eckhart, who was a Catholic visionary from years back, a Catholic mystic. "If the only prayer you say in your whole life is thank you, that would suffice." Something that I am I'm very clear on, that the everything starts and ends with gratitude. It is the alpha and the omega of everything that we wish to accomplish in our lives. If you start with gratitude, you will absolutely end with gratitude. And you need to be clear on that. It's very important in our lives that we are thankful for what we have. And the reason I'm just saying this is because I wanted to just kind of throw out a couple of items on manifesting things in your life for my good friend Dr. Roger Teal. Plant the seed of desire you have for your life and accept it as though it were yours now. And then affirm, that which I seek is now seeking me. And it's kind of a thought process that I get clear in my head by recognizing once again that there is just simply this one mind, and that everything that ever was, is, or shall be is a piece of this one mind. It is amidst this one mind. And if we wish to have things in our lives, we need to be clear that it already exists in mind if we can think about it. If we can actually conjure up the thought, then it exists in the universal mind, in that one mind of spirit. And in order for it to become part of our reality, it is really twice created. It then comes to us. So you need to have in your mind a gratitude-filled affirmation. "I am so happy and grateful as I now experience the fulfillment of my vision, knowing that you are going to experience exactly what it is you choose to experience, not by drawing neat little pictures for spirit, because all that does is limit the divine, and that's probably not a good idea, but knowing that what you want is going to manifest in your life, and be grateful for it ahead of time. You will unfold everything you want if you start with gratitude. Be profoundly thankful. Be joyous. Be effusive. Be loud. And affirm the things that you want to have clear in your life. Thank you, God, for the experience of this vision. Thank you, Spirit. Whatever words work for you. But be grateful from the very outset, from the very, very beginning. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Our greatest glory consists not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall." And when it comes to trying to manifest your heart's desire in your life, that would apply right there as well. Do not give up. Again, it's that practice piece. If there is something you want in your life, if you have a desire in your life, and it is for your good, it is for your highest best, and it's not to anyone else's detriment, it's not going to hurt anyone else, then you need to be very clear over and over and over again in affirming the arrival of that good into your life. If you can make that your daily practice, then you will absolutely manifest all that you want in your life. Your heart's fondest desires will come to you in good time. And you have to understand that. You have to learn to deal with the good time aspect of it, because it does not come in your time frame. It comes in the time frame of spirit, and it comes in the time frame of what is your highest and best. You need to know that. You need to be clear with that. And it's also important that you learn to serve others, because as we serve others, we are serving God, and we are serving the God in them and the God in us all at once. The service piece is enormous, and we're going to talk about that after our next break. service is the big piece for the day for me. What's the larger life calling to you? What is the highest vision of yourself? This is Ken Ludwig, and this is what we're thinking about. We'll be back in a break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Soon as we wake up in the morning, that's when the voices start. It don't take long before they're gone, from your head right to your heart. We got fears about the future, regrets about the past, and stuff we're not sure where it's from, but it's coming on fast. We're all thinking stuff together, but we're feeling all alone, and we're making up this movie, our own motion picture.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's a battle for your mind. This is what we're thinking about. Yeah, when you wake up each day, there's a battle for your mind. Everybody wants a piece of what we're thinking and what's going on in our heads, and they're all trying to fill us full of stuff. All the Madison Avenue people, all the advertising people are jamming our head full of stuff that's just, it's confusing at the very best, and it's just flat out wrong at the very worst. But that's another subject, and probably a subject for another show altogether. It's just every time I listen to Barry's song there, I have different lines jump out at me because he really hit so many nails squarely on the head. You guys are going to love that song when it comes out on CD, and I'll make sure you know how to get it. But we're going to talk today about about a different kind of subject. This is something that is very near and dear to my heart. There's a lot of this that I have written that I probably will just flat out read to you, but we'll talk, and I hope you'll call in and discuss this with me. The number is 1-800-313-9443, and let's hear what you have to say about this subject here. But this is all about service, and it is about service as volunteerism. And it's, and my original thoughts here are that virtually all of us in this country live in neighborhoods or complexes or buildings where we can all feel a sense of separateness. Though it's undeniably true that we thrive in community, it is very apparent that any sense of community seems to be a really distant memory for us baby boomers and a never-existed fairy tale to the ensuing generations. And so we long to have that sense of being together, of being joined by our common interests. And let's be very clear here. We all, every single last man, woman, and child of us in America and all over the world, have common interests that are innate to life itself. We so long for this feeling of community that we use every disaster as a means to bring us together. It would almost seem to indicate some total inability to join together, to unify in peace and harmony and abundance, for we seem to grow farther and farther apart until the blessing in disguise of a 9/11 or a Katrina or a tsunami draws us all together. It draws us together in some kind of potent civic rescue squad, ready to do whatever it takes to assist not only our local, but our global community. Now, I truly believe that it is those who mobilize to help, to assist, to rescue, if you will, people in distress who are contributing in large measure to the raising of the consciousness of all of us. Because invariably here in America, the Novocaine wears off and life happens and we all go back to whatever it was we were doing before whatever the disaster was. Well, most of us do anyway. But there's always, after every outpouring of giving or sacrificing and serving, there's a few people in there in every event who always, there's some who do not go back to life as usual. There are always some who stay in that place, in that consciousness of service. There is no denying that that's a higher consciousness, that place of service. And since I know that there is only one consciousness in which we all participate, those who raise their own consciousness into service have raised the collective consciousness of us all. You see, consciousness is the ultimate example of a rising tide lifts all boats. If you raise your consciousness, mine must follow. And it is everyone who moves into that consciousness of giving, that consciousness of serving, whether after some huge disaster or simply as part of their normal course of their desire to grow, that this global consciousness is raised. And my friends, there is definitely a shift going on here. The collective consciousness is changing. It is rising. And as more and more people seek to have a more rewarding experience of their trip through this human life, it will continue to rise. I'm always looking at the different ways that we seek to rekindle this feeling of community, and I find it very interesting to read and hear about the growing trend towards volunteerism in this country. There's an old there's an old anecdote from the Constitutional Congress of 1787, and as it was coming to a close after 3.5 months, a lady asked Dr. Franklin, I'm assuming that's Ben Franklin, "Well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy?" And he replied, "A republic, if you can keep it." The founding fathers, it seems, were not all that optimistic about our ability to keep that republic. After all, there had only been a handful of small, modestly successful republics in all of human history, but their doubts really came from their knowledge of human nature. In order for the republic to survive, it not only needed the consent of the governed, but much more importantly than that, it required their active participation. A republic does not perpetuate of its own volition. A free society stays that way only through the direct involvement of its citizenry. Now, let's face it, we're not exactly breaking any involvement records here. In our country, the two main activities of our democratic citizenship seem to be voting and paying taxes. And paying taxes really amounts to the majority of us being sure to file the paperwork on time. But compared to voting, we look like we're working hard with that tax thing. In some newer democracies around the world, 75, 80, even 90% of the eligible voters go to the polls. We can barely get half of us to drag ourselves out to cast our vote. And no, we're not going to delve into all the reasons for that, because that's another program altogether. We all know that there's parts of our democracy that are broken, need fixing, but we'll talk about that some other time. There seems to be something else afoot here. And if we look around us and see the broken school system, the healthcare system, we see a government stalled in a partisan paralysis of unprecedented scope. Our health insurance costs continue to escalate as 47 million of us go uninsured. And how about Iraq and Afghanistan and a still ravaged New Orleans? Americans see an administration convinced of the efficacy of its long-failed policies, not even noticing that we already see their failure even as they continue to deny it. Yet while confidence in our democracy and our government is at or near all-time lows, we can see all the way back since the 1970s an ever-increasing civic participation and volunteerism. It almost sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? If everything is so screwed up, why would anybody bother to volunteer? Well, it seems that Americans, and in particular young Americans, seeing that the government and the republic and the public spheres are broken, feel that they can make a difference through community service. Do you remember that feeling we all had after 9/11? We all wanted to do something, anything. We wanted to be part of the community, working together to rebuild, to support, to serve one another. The government pretty much told us to go shopping and support the economy. Not much civic pride in that, is there? So people have come to look at volunteerism not so much as public service, but more the remedy for something we no longer believe in, the ability of our public institutions to function on even minimal levels. And if we would choose to keep this republic, we'll need to take this sense of we can do it together and build a system that might cross all racial lines and bring together all the diverse cultures that comprise this country. Sometimes those cultures and their diversity seems incredibly fractious, but there is a way we can bring it together, and it would appear, especially if one looks back at a few great opportunities for volunteerism in our past, particularly things like FDR's Civilian Conservation Corps, which planted over 3 million trees and really was the foundation point for our national park systems. And of course, there's JFK's Peace Corps. No one can forget that, as well as all the communal responses to all the disasters here and abroad, that would put together a structure of service opportunities that could indeed draw us into that feeling of community that we so desperately seek. The idea of universal national service is starting to get lots of traction, and I think with good reason. It is the idea that virtually every young person in America should have the opportunity to experience a year or more of voluntary military or civilian service. Nothing mandatory, but a very wide choice of areas to devote one's time and effort towards. In 2006, some 61 million Americans performed 8.1 billion hours of volunteer service. 27% of us do volunteer activities, which is roughly 6% more than did so in 1989. While 70% of Americans think that universal national service is a good idea, the time is ripe, right now, for the next president of this country to take a spirit of volunteerism that already exists and make it a permanent part of our culture. Certainly, we should mention that America's young people, both men and women, are giving plenty right now. They're fighting two foreign wars, and let's not forget that. But let's not also forget the battles that need to be fought right here in the good old U.S. of A. There is plenty of battles to be fought in education and healthcare in particular, and to some extent, the commitment of our soldiers at war has created a longing in many of us to do something here at home to make a difference. An outline of what would be considered a beginning format for some kind of national service appeared in Time magazine a few weeks back. I'm going to use it here as an outline for this discussion because I think it really fits in well with what we're talking about here, and it's a great outline for the idea of national service as something that everyone participates in. And I'm pretty much going to read this to you, although we'll have some commentary. And once again, if you're out there and you're listening and you want to talk about this, it's 1-800-313-9443. So a plan would work for universal service. What would it look like? How would it come together? And in the Time magazine article, they said it would certainly be voluntary. It would not be mandatory. Americans don't like to be told what they have to do. And many people would argue that requiring service drains the gift of service of all of its virtue. It would be based on carrots, not sticks. as Benjamin Franklin said, it would be based on doing well by doing good. And truly, Benjamin Franklin was the father of civic engagement. So there's a 10-point plan here, and we're going to just run through this and see what you think. And I think it's a great outline to start the national dialogue. And I think what we need more than anything else in this country around this kind of stuff is dialogue. We seem to have less and less and less dialogue. We seem to have more and more total ignorance, and we just kind of do what we're told. And when we are in the thrall of an administration like the one we have, following what we're told to do is a very, very scary proposition. It's a slippery slope at best. And there are certainly bigger downsides than that to it. But the first point here is to create a national service baby bond. Every time an American baby is born, the federal government would invest $5,000 in that child's name in a 529-type fund. That's the same kind that many Americans are using now for college savings. All right. Now, at a rate of return of 7%, which is the historic return of equities, that money would total roughly $19,000 by the time that child reaches age 20. That money would be accessed between the ages of 18 and 25 on one condition: that the person involved, the child involved, commits to at least 1 year of national or military service. And like the old GI Bill, the money must be used for funding education, to start a business, or to make a down payment on a home. The bond would preserve the voluntary nature of the service, but offer a strong incentive for young people to sign up for it. There's an organization called City Year, and the CEO of that and co-founder of it, Michael Brown, says it's a new kind of government philosophy about reciprocity. If you invest in your country will invest in you. I don't know how much discussion you need on that one. That just sounds like a no-brainer. And when we get near the end of this this Time magazine piece, we'll talk about the cost of such a thing. But it really is, the cost is actually quite a bit smaller than you might think. So the next thing would be to make national service a cabinet-level department. Right now, the Corporation for National and Community Service, which was created in 1993 to manage AmeriCorps, Senior Corps, and the Learn and Serve America program, is a small, independent federal agency. We would find a catchier name. It's always about a catchier name, isn't it? We would streamline its responsibilities and bring it up to a cabinet-level position. This would show that the new president means business when it comes to national service. It would recognize that service is integral to how America thinks of itself and how the president thinks of America. We won't appoint some gray old bureaucrat to do this job. It would need to be someone dynamic. And Time magazine had a couple of great suggestions. I don't know that I buy them, but their suggestions, of course, were Arnold Schwarzenegger and Mike Bloomberg. But people who are capable of capturing the imagination and inspired speaking, and maybe some different thinking would be involved there as well, because we certainly don't need the same old stodgy bureaucrats doing whatever they're doing. The next president from whatever party, he should set a goal to at least enlist 1 million Americans annually in national service by the year 2016. I think with this kind of a program, that's kind of a no-brainer. That would be a relatively easy thing to do. We would expand the national service programs like AmeriCorps and the National Senior Volunteer Corps. Since 1994, 500,000 people have gone through AmeriCorps programs, tutoring and teaching in urban schools, managing after-school programs, cleaning up playgrounds, schools, and parks, and caring for the elderly. After Katrina, AmeriCorps participants descended on the Gulf Coast within 24 hours and have since contributed more than 3 million hours of service. AmeriCorps members earn a small stipend for their volunteering and receive an education award of up to $4,725 per year. Right now, says David Eisner, CEO of the Corporation for National and Community Service, AmeriCorps is the best-kept secret in America. But under this national service program, the idea would more than triple in size from 75,000 members each year to approximately 250,000. We don't need to reinvent this nascent infrastructure, says Brown. We need to take it to scale. That's another no-brainer right there. When you talk about these people descending on New Orleans in 24 hours, under the entire Gulf Coast in 24 hours, and putting in 3 million hours of service, I think any of us who have read anything about what happened after Katrina and what's continuing to happen would be hard-pressed to say that there was a better effort put forth by anybody, including our government and everyone involved in it. Presently, AmeriCorps is a catch-all initiative for a variety of different programs. There are four different corporations that could be put under that, programs that would be put under a new Department of National Service. We would create an education corps. And the idea here is to create a cadre of tutors, teachers, and volunteers who can help the 38% of fourth graders who can't read at a basic level. The members of the Education Corps would also lead after-school programs for the 14 million students, which is a quarter of all school-age kids, who do not have a supervised activity between 3 and 6 on school days. Studies show that students who spend no time in after-school programs are almost 50% more likely to have used drugs and 37% more likely to become teen parents than students who spend 1 to 4 hours a week in an extracurricular activity. That's those numbers just blow me away. You know, people can give you all kinds of numbers and make them say what they want to say, but I think those numbers are pretty stark and pretty tell an extraordinary story. The fact that these children have no supervised activity between 3 and 6 in the afternoon every day, just it speaks volumes to the juvenile delinquency, to gang membership, about the use of drugs. Of course, there all that stuff's going on. There's nobody there to talk to these kids about anything during a very important period of time during the day. So, core members would also focus on curbing America's dropout epidemic. Right now, 50% of all the dropouts come from 15% of the high schools in the U.S. 50% come from 15% of the high schools. Most of them are located in high poverty and southern neighborhoods. Education Corps would focus on this troubled school districts. We're going to take a break here. We got a caller on the line that we'll talk to when we come back from our break. We're going to take 3 minutes. This is what we're thinking about.
Attention. This is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt? Maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me the truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, big-headed politics. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
All right, yeah, just give me some truth. That was fabulous. God, I'd completely forgotten about that song. That's All I Want Is Some Truth from John Lennon. It's, boy, that's an oldie but a very goodie, and I am thrilled to hear that. John, hang on to that one, my friend. We'll play that a lot more because that's really what we're talking about on this show. All I Want Is Some Truth. Now, we got Agnes in Tennessee who has been very patiently hanging on the line during our break there. Agnes, are you there? Agnes? Have we lost Agnes? I guess maybe we've lost Agnes. Well, Agnes, if you're out there and you still want to talk, we're here, honey. Give us a buzz. We're talking here about service through volunteerism, and we're making reference to a really good article that was in Time Magazine a few weeks back and about some proposals put forth in their article about things that we can do to take advantage of a spirit of volunteerism that already exists in this country, and that the next president of the United States could really kind of step this effort up, and we actually could create an entire new volunteer system of people who are actually doing something, people who are actually helping and creating that sense of community. That is the piece to me that is huge, because when we use volunteerism as a springboard, we cross over all lines of race, all lines of diversity in this country, and we are helping, we are assisting each other. I want to be careful about saying helping, because there's a piece we'll do at the end here about the helping thing that maybe not be the healthiest thing in the world to be helping people. What we want to do is actually serve people. And when you serve someone, you are serving them on a level of equivalency, or serving each other on an equal level as opposed to helping, which puts them at a disadvantage to you. Have we got Agnes back there, John? Can we get Agnes on the line? Are you there, Agnes?
Yes, I am.
There you are. We're going to, you know, yes. We're going to wind up falling right into a break here again, but let's see what's on your mind this morning. How are you?
It's only a short statement. You keep calling us a democracy, and I was taught that we were a republic.
Well, you know what? And I started out at the very beginning of this thing, we referred to it as a republic, because that is truly
good.
What we have. It's a democratic republic is what it is.
No. It has nothing to do with democracy. Our foreparents did not have that word even in any of their writings or in the Constitution
right.
or anything. No, you can't find it in there. That's what they didn't want us to have. So that's all I wanted to say. I'm an old timer, and I tell you, there's all the difference in the world in a republic and a democracy. And we don't want a democracy. We've gone from a democracy now into, I think, something else that's even worse.
Well, I think we have lost touch with democracy for certain, and we're moving, unless somebody brings us to a screeching halt, there's a lot out there that would move us right into a theocracy. And we got to be real careful of that one as well. But you're correct about the republic thing, and I'm just kind of using the words interchangeably, and I'm doing that for the purposes of this piece. But from a political standpoint, from a structural standpoint, you are correct, Agnes. I thank you for your call. You have a magnificent Saturday, my dear.
Thank you very much.
We're gonna take a break here. We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is what we're thinking about.
But we're feeling all alone, and we're making up this movie. I own motion picture show. When we walk out in the world each day, it's a battle for your mind. Some folks want your money, some folks want your time, and they all want your attention, and they'll get it how they can. God, well, the garden of your mind, there lies your promised land. 'Cause we're all made up of all that stuff we're taking in each day. And if we don't watch ourselves, we'll take our lives away.
It's true.